Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are studying together from an epistle in the New Testament known as Galatians. The book of Galatians is one of the travel epistles. There were a number of these epistles written by Paul during his travels throughout his three missionary journeys. We find the book of Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans especially. And these books are written in that order. First of all, the book of Galatians, written in 48 A.D., and then the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, written in 52 and 53 A.D., and then Corinthians, written in 54 and 55, and finally the book of Romans, at the end of his third missionary journey, written in 56 A.D. Now, each of these books, of course, of the New Testament are very important, but they have different purposes in being written. They're all the Word of God. Even though Paul might have written them down, God inspired him exactly what he was to write down in each of these books. So this will be true in the entire New Testament and the Old Testament as well. God inspired men exactly what they were to write down, whether it's history or prophecy or poetry or whatever it might be. And in the New Testament, of course, it's going to be history and then these epistles telling us the truth and explaining the truth to us concerning the gospel and the Christian life and everything concerned with it. Now, as we come into the study, again, of the book of Galatians, we've already studied the first four chapters, and I've emphasized again and again, moving very slowly through this book, I've emphasized again and again the importance of the teaching of these doctrinal books. If you study Romans, Romans is dealing mainly with salvation. If you study the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapters 1 to 3 is also dealing with salvation. The same is true with Colossians. This book, Galatians, is dealing with a very key heresy of that day, and it's one which is prevalent in our world today in various forms. The idea that good works can help win your salvation, can help keep your salvation, and that good works will win your approval before God. Now, in the case of the Galatians, it was good works through following the law of Moses, and this is a prevalent teaching in our day. There's a very large group that is teaching this very thing, that we need to follow the law of Moses in our daily lives. And of course, this following of the law of Moses not only means that we must pay attention to it, but that it can also help us keep our salvation. Some people might even believe it helps us win our salvation. In other words, we're saved by grace through faith, but with that, we must keep the law or we cannot be saved at all. But other people are simply teaching, no, you're saved by grace through faith, but if you don't keep the law, you're going to lose your salvation. Then, of course, for them, the law of Moses is the guide to the Christian life. You have to follow strictly the law of Moses in living your Christian life, and you cannot live the Christian life without following the law of Moses. And this, of course, is not true. We are taught, first of all, that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And I want to emphasize this again and again, as I have in previous messages to you, previous lessons that we have studied. And that is that if we are depending upon anything else or anyone else for our salvation and take us to heaven or help us go to heaven, then we're not saved, because you don't add anything to the grace of God. In this fifth chapter, which we're going to get more deeply into today, he is emphasizing that those who are following any other path except the path of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, those who are following any other paths have departed from grace. They're no longer under grace at all. They've departed from grace. So you don't compromise God's truth. When God gives his truth, you don't compromise it. And once you compromise it, it ceases to be the truth of God. And so as we come more deeply into the book of Galatians, we've already studied together chapters 1 to 4, where he defines his own testimony and how he was saved out of dependence upon the law. We read this, of course, in passages like Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, and then verses 7 to 9, and many other passages where Paul gives his personal testimony. But he not only talks about how he was saved out of this dependence upon the law by the grace of God, but then how he is living his Christian life by grace through faith, the grace of God, the sustaining grace of God. and he's living his Christian life by faith alone, with the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who perfectly meets every need. Now, we're going to be getting deeply into this in these next few lessons, because we're going to be studying from chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. And I want to read with you from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And follow with me, perhaps even open your Bibles, if possible. Some of you have Bibles, but you've never opened them very much. And I'm not saying this to make fun of you, but I'm simply saying you need to open God's Word, and then you would not follow the teachings of man. You would not be tempted to follow the teachings of man. So let's begin with verse 1 down to verse 12 of Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Now, let me just stop here for a moment as we read. This word liberty is the idea now that we've been freed from the law. We're not under these hundreds of regulations anymore. In the previous chapter, he compares those who follow the law to those who are under Hagar, which was the illegal wife of Abraham. I want to be very careful what I say. The law is holy and perfect, but the law has fulfilled its purpose, and we're not under the law of Moses anymore. Its purpose was to show these people their need of a Savior by showing them their sinful condition and then pointing them towards the coming Messiah, the one who could save them from their sins. And so the law had its purpose. And then, of course, it pointed them into the sacrificial system, and every one of the millions of sacrifices they would offer year by year would be a picture of the coming sacrifice of the Savior. Let's continue now. So he says here, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the yoke that he's spoken of in chapter 4. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I test again to you, to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, who are justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Now, notice those words. You have fallen from grace. You've departed from it. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease. I would that they even cut off which trouble you. I want to stop our reading right there. Now, in this passage, he is pointing out to them the importance of the error they're following. Important that they understand the error, that they depart from it, and they never again be tempted to go into it. I want to say this today. When these false teachers come, many people have what the Bible calls itching ears. In other words, they're open sort of to every wind of doctrine that comes along. And so a false teacher comes along. And this Christian may say, well, I'm not going to follow his false teaching, but I'm very interested to know what he's teaching. And sooner or later, Satan is going to begin to put doubts in their minds concerning the truth that they've been following. He'll begin to put doubts in their minds, and then he will put a desire in their heart to know more about the false teaching. And finally, in one way or another, they're going to depart from the truth and follow the false teaching. And I'm sorry to say that some very sincere people have been led astray by this means into one false teaching or another, because these false teachers are everywhere. On the radio, on television, knocking on your doors, selling you their literature, and so forth. And we're not to open our hearts at all. We're not to wander in our minds and hearts into any of these false teachings that they might present. We're simply to stick to the truth and not listen at all to these false teachings or consider them in any way, lest Satan should tempt us. Now, in this case, the Apostle Paul is pointing out in this passage of Scripture, first of all, you have to stand fast in the liberty. We're liberty in Christ Jesus. We've come to the Lord Jesus by faith. We've come by the grace of God, which is the unmerited favor of God. And he calls this liberty. You are free now from the Old Testament law. You're free from your sins, because now you stand righteous only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The law does not help you win that righteousness. It only showed you how sinful you were. Whether it's in the Old Testament or wherever it is, it only shows how sinful we are. It does not save us. It does not bring us to salvation. It simply points out our need and then points us to the one who can come to our aid, the Lord Jesus himself, the divine Son of God. He was the Old Testament Messiah. For us, we call him our Savior. And so again, I want to say to you, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, do not be entangled by anything else. Now, and sometimes in churches, people will tell you, well, the church is going to help you go to heaven. You need Jesus, but in addition to Jesus, you need also to depend upon the church. Or they'll say, pray to this one or that one. This one or that one can also help you go to heaven, can somehow aid in your salvation. This, of course, is false. Or they will say, our baptism. Now, in our church, we have baptism and the Lord's table. Our baptism does not in any way save you from your sins. It doesn't aid your salvation. Baptism is simply a testimony of the faith in the Lord Jesus and your salvation you already have. It's a public stand for the Lord, in other words. It has no saving merit whatsoever. It cannot wash away your sins. It does not add to your salvation. It does not make you more worthy before God. And then, of course, taking the Lord's table, the same thing. Some people call this a sacrament. Whatever you call it, it does not in any way contribute to your salvation. Again, it's simply a remembrance where we lift our hearts in thanks and praise to the Lord. So the liberty we have in the Lord Jesus is freedom from any good works of our own, whether it's apart from the law or whether it's in the law. Some people are following the good works of the law itself. Other people know nothing about the law of Moses, but they are following their own good works, just the good works that they do day by day. And so none of these things contribute. We are free now from this dependence upon our own self-efforts, and we come to the realization we are hopeless, lost sinners before God. There is no work I have ever done, am now doing, or will ever do that will qualify me to be saved. Now, after I am saved, I certainly am to please God by following him and day by day doing what pleases him. But these good works do not contribute to my salvation itself. I'm saved by the grace of God, by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's his blood that cleanses me from my sins. So as we come more deeply into this epistle now, we're coming into chapter 5. And I touched upon this a little bit in the last lesson, but I want to come into it more deeply right now. So these Judaizers have made living under the law attractive, using clever arguments to stress the ties they claim the Galatians needed to maintain with the Old Testament God. Of course we have a relationship with him, but God works in various ways in various days. In the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus, as their Messiah, had not yet come. So they need this preparation by God. Now he has come, we don't need this preparation anymore. Now we have the Holy Spirit convicting us of our need of a Savior, of helping us to be saved by the work of regeneration, causing us to be born again by the Spirit of God. And then, of course, his indwelling work in us, which helps us live the Christian life. But in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. They needed this preparation, and the law was their preparation to discipline them, to teach them, to point them toward the one who would someday come and be their Savior from sin. Isaiah 53, if you've never read that passage, read and meditate on that passage. It will bring tears to your eyes when you consider the sufferings that he went through when he died on the cross. It was a prediction of the coming suffering of the Lord. Now, no matter what truth it might be taught by Paul, that's what these Judaizers were saying, no matter what truth it might be taught by Paul and others concerning God's different workings and God's grace and so forth, the things of the past are made to seem too precious to give up, and these Galatians could be tempted to return to them at any time. In other words, the law is too precious to give up. No matter what Paul might have taught you, no matter what other teachers might teach you, it's too precious to give up. And how dare you turn against the law? That's what the false teachers were teaching. Therefore, these people who are hearing the truth, and these people who have heard the truth from Paul, are going to have to make a clear decision on their part that they have been forever freed in Christ from all the slavery of life under the law, and they now live in the freedom only in Christ. Now, this is a decision we have to make. I am now free in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to return to the bondage again, the bondage mentioned in chapter 4. I'll never again return to that bondage. It doesn't mean that I will not follow the moral teachings of the law. Of course, every moral teaching is very important to us today. We don't kill, we don't steal, we don't commit adultery, and so forth. But as far as the hundreds of regulations are concerned, we make a clear decision. We're not going to go back to these hundreds of regulations of the law. Now, without such a clear and final decision on their part, they will leave themselves open to any false teachers that might come along. And I want to emphasize this truth again and again with you. The same thing is true for you today. You have to make a clear decision. I stand in the grace of God. I stand by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin. This is the only means of salvation. And no matter what men might tell me, even in some churches, false teaching might come. But no matter what men might tell me, no matter what books might be written against this teaching of salvation by grace through faith, I make a clear decision. I'm not going to listen to any of this false teaching. I'm going to stand in the Lord Jesus Christ and in my salvation in Him, and by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live to His praise and glory. But as far as my salvation is concerned, I make a clear decision. I'm not going to return to any false teaching. And so we reject everything. We don't listen to it. We reject it. We turn away from it, and we decide once for all, I'm going to follow the truth of the Word of God. And the truth is found in such passages as Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that hath the Son hath life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. But the wrath or the punishment of God lives on him. So follow the Word of God, and with all your heart, trust in the Lord Jesus as your only means of salvation, entirely apart from church, from anyone else, or anything else. And then live for the Lord Jesus in your life with the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So this is my prayer for each of you. Many of you are Christians, but you may be tempted by false teaching. Turn away from it and turn back again to following the Lord Jesus with all your hearts. Or you may be non-Christians who are seeking the way of salvation, seeking the truth. Come to the Lord Jesus. Trust Him by faith as your Savior from sin, and then live for Him. May the Lord help you, each one.